Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. It is a good morning. I'm over here to the lighthouse. It's a Wednesday morning and the lake is just beautiful with all of the calmness that the lake has. Maybe you put some calmness into my life, maybe into my message this morning. But it's been quite an experience for every single one of us. And I know that about this time we're getting tired of what all the ways we have to go do things and the responsibilities that we have in so many different areas. And it's just a different time, folks, and we're looking forward to the time when this will be behind us. But you join me this morning by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock. We are now streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. You joined me this morning by the way of Ionia, WION 1430 AM, 92.7 FM, and 100.3 FM over in the Lowell Ada area. Well, I'm just so glad that you joined me this morning, and we're looking forward to sharing the message with you. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGOM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both the Ionia and the Greenville station by the way of the web. And so that's something that is pretty special. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com. I welcome you. Some of you are listening by the way of my website, and I want to welcome you. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. Take your mouse and go where it says Messages from the Lighthouse. Just bring your mouse up on that, and you will see Current Media. Click on Current Media, and it will take you to the message for today. Whatever way you joined me, I'm just glad to have you be a part of our service today. I need to quickly say thank you to all of those that help take care of the financial part of the broadcast, because that's pretty special importance, business to take care of. So a big thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she lives in Orleans. A big thank you to Bell and Judy Hammond from the Belding area for their support. To Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan areas, thanks so much for your support. And in Shiloh Community Church, want to thank you for the support we receive also. Need to remind you that there's no services at the church buildings, but there will be a message coming from the Shiloh campus. Pastor Dale will be bringing that message this week, and that's going to be at 10 o'clock. There'll be a message coming from the Greenville campus, and that message will be delivered by Pastor Paul Sisko. So we're just glad that you would tune us in, and many of you have been, and we've been so pleased with that. And it's just very special as we try to go through this time. And a good thing we got the modern conveniences of being able to use that. It helps us a whole lot. A big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music again this morning. And she's been so faithful for that, and I have been so pleased. Well, as we think about our message this morning, I'm just going to talk about a place along the way. You know, sometimes we have places along the way, and we think about certain places we visited or been a part of our life, and now we maybe can't do that at this point in time. I'm just excited about getting up to my cabin, but we can't quite go there yet because we're on the travel restriction. But, you know, I'm thinking this morning more for my message is maybe the place, but it also is a time along the way. Something you've went through in your life that was a very difficult time. And somehow God was saying that he wanted you to move into what I'm going to call this morning God's forward motion. And, you know, I believe God wants us to move forward in our Christian motion that we have for him, in the ways we want to serve him, the things we want to do. I realize they're so anxious to get the country opened up again, but I also realize that's a pretty dangerous thing to do it too quickly. And we can just have a relapse and even end up being worse than we've already been, and it's been bad enough. So let's just ask the Lord to bless us through this day, and we're going to, a song I want us to listen to. And people have been so good about stepping up to help one another with this thing called food. And you know, this song is talking about, Lord, would you feed your people? You know, there's physical food and then there's spiritual food. And we just are so proud of the way that I believe both of these areas have stepped up to the plate, so to speak, and been willing to get involved in providing what is needed in our society today. So we'll listen to this song, and then I'll be right back and share the message with you. And God bless you for tuning us in. And God bless you as we listen to this song.
My vessel is empty, though once I had plenty. My soul is barren and dry. Somewhere flows a fountain beyond distant mountain. Let me drink from the river of life. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from the fountain that flows from the mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. So long I have hungered, no man could number the days that I've longed to be in a land filled with honey, where the rivers are running. Very soon now will I taste and see. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. From the fountain that flows from the mountain, let me feast from the Father's supply. Drink from the fountain that flows from the mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
Let me drink from that fountain. And you know, folks, about this period of time and this process we're going through, and I'm hoping it is a process and we'll soon be on the other side. But you know something, we can all have so much energy. We all have so much capability to kind of hang on, so to speak, and to kind of give it the best shot that we're capable of doing. But you know, a headache is just a little while. We can handle that pretty good. But when something is prolonged, it gets into the part of causing us a little bit more insecurity, so to speak, maybe a little bit more nervousness about what is happening. And we see that some in our society today, where many times groups of people just want to make sure that we get opened up and get back to life as it was. And yet at the same time, we got a virus. And that is very dangerous for us to be at that point. So I believe it takes a lot of prayer. And I believe we need to be praying. I want to pray this morning for our listening audience, and God would bless them. But I also want to pray for those that's in the place of responsibility, for our president and for our governors of each state, that God might give them some wisdom and that they would be open to the wisdom of God. I like what is told to the young man Timothy by the Apostle Paul under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercession, and yes, even thanksgiving be made for all people. And then he goes on to list some. For kings and all who are in high positions, that they may lead a peaceable, that we may lead a peaceable and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing to the sight of the Lord, our Savior, who desires that all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of this truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something, folks? He's telling us we need to pray for those in the place of leadership. This is a very dangerous place to be at in what we've been going through these past few weeks. You know, sometimes we as humans, and especially seems like we as Americans, get very impatient. And we want to move forward, and that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. But there's a pace to move forward. And we need to ask the Lord to give to our governors of each state and to the president and to the vice president wisdom to know how to do this. So let's just bow for a moment to prayer. First of all, Father, I come to you on behalf of the listening audience. Would you meet their every need, whatever it is today? Some may be discouraged about this, and some may have almost to the point that they just can't take it anymore. And so, Father, when we come to the end of ourselves, that's when you're able to step in and give us strength that is beyond ourselves. When we just agree with you that we are weak, as the Apostle Paul agreed with you when he asked God to do something special for him, and God said, "My grace is sufficient." Father, would you remind us today, when we admit our weakness, that's when the strength of the Lord is able to come into our life and cause us to go longer and further than we ever thought we'd be capable of doing. So I pray that for the listening audience this morning, because this has been a fairly long time for us who are always on the go and always doing the things that we want to do when we want to do them, and all of a sudden it's totally different. And so, Father, it's even scary when we see people with masks and so on, and it's even scary when I go somewhere and use the mask and think, man, never had to do this before. So, Father, I pray you just be with us. I want to pray this morning, Father. You tell us in your word that we should pray for those in positions of authority. And, Father, I'm glad there is people that take up the position of authority. And, Father, we got a governor in each state. We got a president and a vice president. We got a lot of politics and things that can come alive at these kinds of times, especially on election years. And Father, may these governors and the president and all the political people kind of set that aside for a few moments and kind of thinking more, even more about what is necessary for the people. And so, Father, I pray that we're talking about opening up our country again. And, Father, they need some wisdom. The president needs wisdom. The vice president needs wisdom. The governor of Michigan, the governor of every state needs some wisdom in how to do. So this morning I'm praying to you that you might give them the wisdom how they should open up our nation to the business world again and for things getting back to the way it was. But Father, give them the wisdom to know when and how and when not to, and all that stuff that is needed this morning. Father, if you do that for us, we'd be so grateful. Would you be pleased to have your way as we talk about your word now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, I thought I'd like to go back this morning to the nation of Israel, the nation of Israel that God had established through a man by the Abraham, by the name of Abraham, and we'll talk about him in just near the end of the broadcast. But you know something, folks, that nation of Israel, they was hard learners. They were hard to keep going forward. They would do a little bit, and then they would complain and find fault and get set in their ways and not listen to what God was saying, not listen to what their leaders were saying, and all of a sudden they was in problems. I got to tell you, folks, they wandered in the wilderness without any direction for 40 years. We've been doing it for a few weeks, and I'm tired of it. We need to realize, dear people, that this comes a place to realize that God said something to this nation of Israel one time that may be where you are today, and that is enough is enough. Say that with me. Enough is enough. You know, that we come to that point when enough is enough. That's when God's able to take over. That is recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 6. At Mount Horeb, the Lord our God said to us, "You have stayed at this mountain long enough." Enough is enough. In Deuteronomy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, he said, "We went back to the desert and followed the road that goes to the Red Sea, as the Lord had told us. For a long time we traveled around the region of Mount Syria, and the Lord said to me, 'You have traveled around this region long enough.'" God said to it two different times, you know. "You camped here long enough, and then you've been traveling in this spot. You're kind of like running in motion, so to speak, and you need to do something about it." I believe the time is coming to a place of enough is enough in the process that we have been going through as individuals and as a nation. The people of Israel were going in circles, and God was about to give them some direction when he said, "Go north." Now, you know, folks, I think that's why I want us to pray this week for our leaders, that they might have some direction. Direction, which way to go and how to do about it. Everybody wants to have their place of business open first, so we need to realize there's a lot that has to be done. I remember when I was told that I needed to have surgery for a knee replacement. And, you know, I responded with, "Well, I'll wait a while. I'll wait a while." You know, we just don't jump into surgeries. And I waited for a while. And then you know what happened, folks? Those of you who's had knee surgery, you know this is what takes place. I was waiting a while, and I could stand it pretty good. It was a lot of pain with it. But then all of a sudden, the pain got worse. It started bothering not only in the daytime, but it started bothering in the evening time at night. And after a process of constant praying, in the daytime and in the evening time, I came to the place where I said what I just said a few moments ago, enough is enough. And you know what we did? We scheduled surgery. Little did I know that I'd have to have the other one. They said the one was worse than the other, and now I've had both of them replaced. But, you know, that was a good thing. But I had to come to that place where enough is enough, and then I could make a decision. And I don't believe we've come quite there enough to be able to realize just exactly what we're confronted with. That is why I shared with you the idea that we need to pray for the president, for direction, for the governors of each state, that God might move them in a sense of direction to say, this is the way we should go. God said to them, "Go north." You know what? We got to be careful to make sure we go north. We open up too quickly and we could probably end up going south. Now, that's just an expression to say we got ourselves into more trouble than expected. I believe the same is true of each one of us as we open our lives to what is ahead. We need to know. I have learned as an individual what I needed to learn from this experience. I believe God helps us to go through these kind of experiences and to say enough is enough. But I believe any kind of experience like this we've been going through, I believe we need to learn about how much we need God. I keep going back to one of my favorite verses. God says, keep your lives free from money and be content with what you have, because God has said something that will help your contentment. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you or abandon you, that we will be able to say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. The Lord will not, I will not be afraid. What can all humans do to me? God is reminding us that we need to come to that point where we're just calling upon God to give us that special strength one day at a time. Have you noticed that's kind of the way we have to live today? One day at a time. And that was God's intent from the beginning, that you and I would do that. But we kind of took charge and made it a little different than it would be. A long time ago, God gave that forward motion to the nation of Israel. From the experience of the nation of Israel going through what they did, I want to learn some things that will help me understand what I need to do with what I'm going through today. And you know what? One day in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 7 through 8, God said, it's a time to break camp. You know, breaking camp, you know, by my nature and by my design, I've always been a very busy person. And every now and then through my lifetime, I'd get sick and I'd say to Bevy, to my wife, I'd say, I don't have time to be sick. And she would respond with me, to me, maybe that's God's way to slow you down for a short time. I'm going to tell you, folks, we don't like those kind of times. At least I never did. I'm not saying that is why the world is in the condition it is today. I'm not saying that's why America, or why we as a family or we as an individual are going through what we're going through at this point in time. But I do believe maybe God would be saying to us, it's time for a timeout. You need a timeout in your life to rethink your life. I heard a pastor say during this time, you know, Jesus referred to himself as a good shepherd of our life in Psalm number 23, talking about the good shepherd. The shepherd makes me to lie down in green pastures. Did you hear that? He makes me to lie down. Now, the green pastures is where the sheep want to eat the most. That's where they want to get involved in that and enjoy that. But he made me to lie down in green pastures. I believe that's something that we need to get a hold of, but we need to realize all of rest isn't always good. In Exodus chapter 13, the day of the Lord went ahead of them, as it tells us how God gave them direction. He led the nation of Israel by a cloud in the daytime and by a fire at night. By night, he went ahead of them in this column of fire to give them light as they would travel. The column of smoke was always in front of them during the day. The column of fire was always there at night. Then I found this verse in the book of Numbers. Sometimes the column of smoke stayed on from evening until morning. When the smoke moved in the morning, they broke camp. Day or night, when the smoke moved, they broke camp. Whenever it was 2 days, whether it was 2 days or a month or a year, as long as the column of smoke stayed over the tent, the Israelites stayed in place. And they didn't break camp. But when the smoke was moved, they would break camp. God would be saying to them, your time out is over. It's time to move forward. But you know what? You can move forward in your life right now, even before you break camp. You know, I think whenever I preach the Old Testament, through all my years of preaching, I love the verse that was given to us in the book of Romans, chapter 15. For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction. We're supposed to learn from the nation of Israel. We're supposed to learn what they did right, and we're supposed to learn what they did wrong. And we're supposed to learn that sometimes they had to do the same lessons over and over again. But listen to what God goes on to say, and this is what I need today. And this is at the point that you may be at as well. Through endurance and through the encouragement of Scripture, we might have hope. We need to see one of the things we need right now in our life is some more endurance. And we need some encouragement. How much longer, Lord, will this be? And we need some hope that there's light in the tunnel and we'll soon be on the other side. Could it be, I'm not saying it is, but could it be that one of the reasons that we're going through this time as individuals is for us to have a little time out? You know, there's one thing, the one verse that I really like that I've often used in my life, even if it was for a short period of time. Be still and know I am God. Maybe this is a quiet time, folks. Maybe this is a quiet time for God to say to you and for God to say to me, be still and know I'm God. He's still God, folks. The God of the valley is the God of the mountains. The God of the past is the God of the present. The God of the future is the God of right now. God needs to be God, and we need to let him be God, and we need to let him do for us what only God is capable of doing. But maybe he's saying to us, have some quiet time. Time out and think about your life. There are a few more thoughts I want to share on this side here, breaking camp, and then we'll listen to a song. An idea of having a time out. I don't like time outs. We need to remember to help us at this time. As a family, when our children were growing up, we did a lot of camping every year. We started with a tent camper underground. We moved up to a pop-up camper. Then there were some families in the church that had different kinds of campers and motorhomes and so on, and so they would let us use their motorhome or camper that they had, and then we would go for our vacation in the summertime. And our kids love camping. And you know, I always did, I say to them, when we get to the campground now, I'll set up camp and you just go check out the camp. And they jump on their bicycles and they go check out the camp. But you know, when it came time to say, we got to go home. We got to move forward. It was a time to break camp. Break camp is a hard time. You're really having a good time. You got some good weather and things was really enjoyable. But it's a lot of hard work. And the nation of Israel, when God said to them, break camp, this was many thousands of people, folks. And not only were they carrying all their possessions with them, they had lots of animals and those kinds of things. But there was something that gave them some hope. When God would say it's time to break camp, it's given to us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 8. I'm giving you for this land. Enter and take possession of the land sworn to give to your ancestors Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and Jake, and to you, their descendants. God had given a promise to the Abraham and those that he was going to lead them to a promised land, a land that he said was flowing with milk and honey, and he would lead them there. And you know, when it was time to break camp, God reminded them, even though it was going to be difficult, it was time to break camp and move forward to that promised land. In the book of Numbers, we read about a number of people, 600,000 men, plus the women and children and animals that God was leading through this wilderness time. And besides that, all their possessions they owned. And then there was a tabernacle that went with them that was set up every time and torn down every time. And I got to tell you, it's many times bigger than any tent that I ever used. And I got to tell you, each one had their part to do. Each one had their part to carry. And then I was taking the tabernacle down. And then when they got to their destination, it was putting the tabernacle back up. I believe it was a difficult time. And I believe for us today, breaking camp is going to be a difficult time. I don't believe it's going to be easy to put America back together as it wasn't the nation of Israel. Some good days they had. They had some bad days. And just like we're going through today in our individual life, we have some good days. We have some bad days. Isn't that what life is made up of? All of life can't be sunshine. All of life can't be laughter. All of life can't be good days. We would not appreciate the good days if it wasn't difficult days. All of life, have you learned yet in Michigan? All of life isn't going to be the weather that you want to have. I want it to be warmer now. I want to see people on this lake and enjoying this lake and so on. You know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, something that's always been a part of my life, and I've shared it at funerals. I shared it when people go through difficulties. When times are good, be happy. And now you need to think back on some happy times that you've had in your life. But when times are bad, I like to call it when everything comes unraveled. God says to us, when that kind of thing happens, we need to pause and consider. Consider what, we might say. Consider that God is reminding us that he's made both times. He's promised to be with us both times. In the good times and the difficult times, he's promised to go with us. And we need to realize that that's exactly true in all that you're going through right now. God's promise is to be with you. Before we listen to a song, I love this thought given to us in 1 Peter chapter 4. Dear friends, do not be surprised by all the fiery troubles that you're coming in order to test you. Don't feel as though something strange is happening to you, but be happy. You have shared Christ, you are sharing in Christ's suffering. Then you also will feel the full joy when Christ appears. You know what God is saying to us? God's only son, the Bible tells us, God didn't spare him. I want you to know that Jesus went through bad days, and he kept his eyes on the Father, and he kept his eyes on the end of his journey, what he would accomplish. So I say before we listen to this song, let's just consider Jesus. Let's consider Jesus and let's have some more faith in this God and what he's done for each and every one of us. So let's listen to the song. I'll take a little break, get a sip of water, and I'll be right back with you. God bless you. God encourage you. God strengthen you. And may he lead you.
By faith, Abraham looked for a city. By faith, Daniel faced the lions, believing he would be free. By faith, Abel offered to God a sacrifice more pleasing than Cain's. And by faith, Noah prepared the ark, knowing his God would soon send the rain. Yeah.
That's the way we got to do it, folks. By faith, we can step out. But I don't believe it's time to step out until we make sure we've learned some things. Learned some things so we just don't go back to life the same old way that it was before this experience. I believe these kind of experiences are to teach us. And I believe life is all of life is a learning experience. I have learned things about myself. I have learned things about God through this difficulty that we're called upon to go through. And we need to realize that's part of the process. I don't know as I'm exactly to the place that it is talked about in the book of James, but I love the book of James. It's practical Christianity. It's saying this is the way it is, brothers and sisters. This is what you need to know. Speaking to us as Christians, God's word teaches us in the book of James, my brothers and my sisters, be very happy when you are tested in different ways. I don't think I've arrived there yet, folks. Be very happy when you are tested in different ways. I think we all have been tested through this process in different ways. But listen to what he goes on to say. You know, and we forget it sometimes, you know that such testing of your faith produces. It brings a product. It brings about some good. The testing of your faith, he says, produces endurance. And we need some endurance. Endure until your test is over. Then you will be mature and complete. And you learn some things that you will know that you won't need anything else. You know, somebody said this statement, and I believe it's true. And I believe this is the learning process for what we're going through now. You will never know that Jesus Christ is all you need until Jesus Christ is all you have. Let me say that again. You will never know that Jesus Christ is all you need until Jesus Christ is all you have. We need to know that. And this is a learning process. Lesson from being tested. Well, first of all, we are learning the attitude of the student. You know, the attitude of the student has a lot to do with when they're being tested. Is he willing to learn? He says, be very happy when you're tested in all these different ways. I know in the testing we're going through, we might ask, why would God say, be happy? The answer is found in what he says next. You know it's going to produce something that cannot be produced in any other way. because you're going to grow. You're going to mature. You're going to be able to face what comes your life from this time forward. When I look back over my life, any difficult time that I went through, starting with my childhood, in my adult life, I got to tell you, every experience that I went through that was difficult taught me lessons that I could use to avoid difficulty. Taught me lessons that I could use to make sure that I didn't travel down some of those roads that I knew were not good roads to travel down. I believe God is saying he wants us to move forward. But I believe God's saying, have you learned anything? I've been trying to teach you something. And he's teaching us individually. I believe he's teaching America. I don't believe America will be the same. I would hope that we would turn to God, but I believe, you know, we would look at things just a little differently. Again, Peter reminds us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, another thing that comes from this testing. He responded this way, "Dear friends, don't be surprised by the fiery troubles that come your way in order to test you." And fiery trouble means they're not enjoyable experiences. You get burned by this. Fiery troubles, he said. Don't feel as though some strange thing has happened to you, but be happy as you share in Christ's suffering. Then you'll be able to share in his glory. And that's what he's reminding us of. And that's something that's pretty special. But that's hard to tell to a group of people like us Americans that seem to think that we should live in a pain-free zone. We're not living in a pain-free zone. You know, we even had sayings going around in the society when I was younger that said, old age is the golden age. And now when I arrive to this golden age, I'm reminded there's no gold in the golden age. There's pain, there's suffering, there's hurt, there's fears that I've never had before in my life as I get older. I've never had the fear of falling. But now I have to really be careful because I know I could fall. You know, God wants to teach us, each one of us, some special things. As I wrap up the service for this morning, just got a few more minutes left. I want to share with you this forward motion. I believe we need to go back and see how the nation was started. I believe even us as Americans, we ought to go back and see how this nation was started. And how we doing on how we was started. Have we drifted from some of those things that made us a great nation in days gone by? You know, in the book of Genesis chapter 12, there's a man that they called Abram, and later was Abraham. God came to him one day. He was living with his dad, and he was taking care of sheep and so on. And he was doing well, and he was happy with it. His family seemed to be happy with it. And God came, and he said to them, I want you to leave this land. I want you to leave your relatives. I want you to leave your father's house. And I want you to go to a land that I will show you. Didn't give a whole lot of promises. A land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. And I'll curse those who curse you. Through every family of the whole earth will be blessed by you. Let me just say this before I pass by him. The way that this whole earth is blessed by this man, Abram, was that through his lineage was going to come the Lord Jesus. But he's going to ask him, Abraham, to do something that maybe God's asked us to do in this thing we're going through in our individual lives. The first thing that was needed to know is for Abraham to respond to God in a positive way. God is letting him know he had to leave his comfort zone. He had to leave his comfort zone. We all have our comfort zone. We love to do things the way we want to do, and we love to go to places we want to go. We love to have our own timing. And God saying to Abraham, I want you to move to a land that I'll show you. Doesn't tell him much about it. And if you know anything about Abraham's life, there's a lot of difficulty ahead of him. But God said, I want you to leave your comfort zone. This pandemic that we're going through may be trying to teach us that we need to leave our comfort zone as well and realize in order to move forward, there's a need to trust God. In order to move forward, there's a need to claim the promises of God. And I love the way God did it when he said to him, I will show you. Now, what we've been going through these months, God's saying, I want to show you. I want to show you some things that you would never see otherwise. That's why we're having this time out. Now, I'm not saying that's why it was, but I'm saying, I want to learn from that. I will show you. And God desires to show us some things that we've maybe never noticed before. So he says, I will show you and I will make you. Is this process we're going through is to make us, is to help us to become a different person. Did you notice he said it's going to build endurance in your life? It's going to build maturity in your life. This time is supposed to produce something in our life, and that's what God says to Abraham. I'll make you. And then I love it when he said, I will bless you. I will bless you. Bless you amongst the difficulty. Bless you in the forward process. Bless you when you find things are not turning out the way you thought they would. I will bless you, God says. But he doesn't stop there, and I love this about God. I will bless you, he said, and you will be a blessing. And you will be a blessing. God's saying, not only will you be a blessing, but you will be a blessing to all mankind. Now here, folks, we need to understand, that's the way God initiated it, that he's going to bless you. But the reason he blesses you is so you can be a blessing to someone else. And maybe you wasn't doing that before we got into this pandemic. Maybe you were only thinking of me, myself, and I. Many people were only thinking of me, myself, and I. Maybe we need to realize that God is saying, I want you to look out for others. Have you noticed how people have done it? Oh, every time, every day we read or hear about something else that somebody is trying to do to be a help to somebody else. And when I think about those people on the front lines in the hospital, going to work every day amongst all that the disease that is there, I can't imagine for a moment what they're going through. And even when they come home, they have to separate themselves from their families and so on. No, God's saying something to us, folks, through this. Is your life only self-centered around you? Do we only think of me, myself, and I? And God said, I'm going to be a blessing to you, and I'm going to give you blessings. One of the things that I've noticed in tragedies of life, and I call this a tragedy. One of the things that I've noticed in the tragedy of life, and we've gone through some, my wife and I have, everybody under the hearing of my voice has gone through some tragedy. But you know what I've noticed in all my years? I know I'm so glad I learned it early on. I've noticed that tragedies of life either make you better or bitter. Either make you better or bitter. And we need to know that that's what God wants to produce in our lives as well. You know, there's a verse I was listening to a speaker last week one day. And there's a verse that I heard quoted from Psalm 75:3, and I never heard this verse before. And it says this in the translation that this person used, and I found it. It's a New English Bible. When the earth totters, T-O-T-E-R-S, it's tottering. Our world is tottering right now. When the world totters, And listen to the next thing. And all of its inhabitants totter. And sometimes we're tottering too. God says, you know what? I will keep steady its pillars. God said, I'm going to steady the earth. I'm going to be a stabilizer for the earth. God is saying, I want you to know that it may be pretty shaky in your life right now. It may be pretty shaky in society right now. It may be pretty shaky within your inner person. But God says, I want you to know that I'm steadying the pillars of your life. I'm steadying the pillars of the society and of the world. God is our stabilizer. I believe this morning we need that stabilizer. Then isn't that Psalm 75? There's just a little word that says Selah, Selah. It just says it at the end of that verse. And this is true in many times in the Psalms. It just says Selah. You know what that means? Stop and think about it. Stop and think about it, folks. As we close our service for today, we're going to listen to a song that says, God forbid that we let this control us. God forbid we need to say, I thank you for what you've done. But you know what? He's our stabilizer. And if you're tottering in your life this morning, you're just feeling topsy-turvy, so to speak, God wants to stabilize you. I want you to take that with you the rest of this week and use it in whatever way you can, that God wants to stabilize you. God wants to stabilize you, and that's important to get a hold of. I got to find out what's happening here. Sorry, folks. We're having trouble getting the right song. Here we go. I'm so sorry. God didn't stabilize my finger. Good to see you. Good to be with you. God bless you. I'm keeping you in my prayers. Hang on to him. Bye-bye.
Fear or wonder, and called upon you only for what we stand to gain. God forbid that I find you so familiar that I think of you as less than who you are. God forbid that I should speak of you at all without a humble reverence in my heart. God forbid. Lord, I often talk about your love and mercy, how it seems to me your goodness has no end. It frightens me to think that I could take you for granted. Though you're closer than a brother, you are more than just my friend. God forbid that I find you so familiar that I think of you as less than who you are. God forbid that I should speak of you at all without